Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Thank you for sharing your gifts. On a special day like today, Pentecost Sunday, we want to thank all of the gifts that kind of come together in this one moment to celebrate what the church is all about. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how our faith can catch fire, how we can move from just being another match in a matchbox to actually catching fire and having that passion. And today, on Pentecost Sunday, that becomes a reality for those that are willing to receive it. There's a story about a man, and maybe you've had this at your own experience, that he went down south. He went certainly farther south in the Mason-Dixon line, and he went into a restaurant to order breakfast. And he went in and he ordered a standard fare of eggs and sausage or something. And he noticed that when he received his plate, over on the corner of his plate was this little white pile of something that he'd never seen before. And so he tasted it, and it seemed to be quite good. And he asked the waitress over, and he said, "What is this? I've never seen this before." And she said, "Well, sir, this is what we call grits." And having never heard the term or known what it was, he obviously asked her, and he said, "Well, excuse me, ma'am, but what is a grit?" And she said, "No, you don't understand. There is no such thing as a grit, for they always come together. There are only grits." And we start this morning to think about our own story, our own journey of faith. And you kind of hear that in this Pentecost story. You know, somebody would say to you, perhaps, "What is a Christian?" You say, "Well, there are no individuals. There are only the community, because they always come together." And so that when we gather as a community, as we gather as a church, it's to remember who we are, to remember our identity. John Wesley is famous for having said, "The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion." And so when you know people that prefer to do their own thing or go their own way, they're missing a major, major component of what God has in store for us. This is the gift. You read through the scriptures and you find this is the mystery that God has been waiting to reveal, restoring to us His Spirit that we might live in that covenant community that defines the church. Not always perfect, not always agreeing, but living with forgiveness and grace. That's what the world has been hungering for. It's what people are still asking for. And we gather this morning to remember that story. This morning I wanted to share the Pentecost story as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Because I wasn't really sure of how much time I was going to have this morning, you're not going to see a whole lot of that up on the screen. So I'm going to be just reading it out of the text, and you can follow along on your pew Bible or just listen and let the words seep in. It comes from Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. "Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place," like the beginning of the church. "And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the gathered and bewildered, because each heard them speaking in the native language of each. And all were amazed, and they were perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others even sneered at them and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and he addressed them. And he said, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And all shall portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon as to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we welcome your Holy Spirit among us to enliven us and to restore us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us again. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the necessity of the coming of the Holy Spirit, especially as it impacted Peter and the disciples and began that cascading effect, that warmth and that light that began to spread beyond the borders of Jerusalem and Judea. And now we are the beneficiaries of that singular event, that moment in time that now cascades into our lives. But because of that, there are several things that shaped their lives and today can shape yours if you so choose, if you allow it to. A couple of things that happen as a result of this day. I don't know if you, as you heard Peter prophesy and share what the Old Testament had always predicted was about to unfold. There are some that sneered and did not understand what was unfolding in the culture around them. And Peter said, "This is what God has always been doing." He said, "In those days, the Spirit will come upon people and they will dream dreams. They will see visions. Old men will dream, young people will have visions, and we will believe." The first thing that happens as a result of Pentecost is we have a purpose in our lives. Our lives are not a string of events and circumstances just kind of strung together. God has a plan for our lives. There are things that we are doing together. As we shared among us this morning what the youth are doing, changing of their lives. Think about your own faith journey. Somebody stepped into your life and invited you to experience what God had in store. They had a vision of what was possible. We lit the candles this morning. If you remember last week, we talked about Mother's Day. And we celebrated that each of these candles represents 3 or 4 malaria nets that were purchased and are going to be a blessing. So each of these candles represents a family. We believed we could do it. We believed we could make a difference. We had a vision. We had an idea of what God could do among us. Imagine what would happen if Christians around our community bonded together and said, "Let's believe that our world can be better than it is now. Let's believe that we can work together. In spirit of truth and grace, we can encourage and inspire one another. And what can we do together to lift one another up, to encourage one another?" We gather as part of a fellowship. People that encourage and inspire one another, bring out the best in each other. Inspire people to use their gifts for the good of all and to share abundantly and joyfully as we share what we have been given. And to recognize that what we have is a gift. And we should celebrate with gratitude. We have a purpose, and it drives us ever forward. And then Peter stands up in the midst of a crowd. because he has a story to tell. Other people think that he's nuts. They think that the people that are there are drunk. But Peter not only has a purpose, he has a passion. He has something that's burning in his bones. He has something that he wants to tell. He has something that he wants to share. And I want to challenge you this morning. What is it about your faith, about your church, that you want to share with other people? What's your passion? What is it that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, or hasn't your candle quite been lit yet? What is it that you would like to other people to experience? The friendship, the fellowship, the opportunities to bond together, to know other people. Are you gathered with your friends today to say, I love other people to know these people, to share my life with them, to understand the grace and the purpose that God has in store for us? Peter had a passion. Now, if you know the story of the New Testament, you know that the disciples went through a very difficult time. They all were martyred except for John. And we find that all of the disciples had a tough road that they eventually went through. But they had a passion. Their lives were caught on fire. As a matter of fact, you find later in the book of Acts that sometimes when Peter and John were talking, when they were telling people about Jesus, people said, who are these? Aren't they just ignorant fishermen from Galilee? But they had a passion that caught fire. What would happen if there were just a few disciples that were able to catch fire with others and combine with a passion? Because I believe that as soon as that happens, as soon as a couple of people begin to believe in themselves and those around them, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to step in and he begins to ignite. The thing that we're not able to do for ourselves, God did for us. He gave us the promise. The Spirit has come upon you. Catch fire with it. You never know where it's going to lead you. So as we gather this morning, as we believe in the coming of the Holy Spirit, it is our birth of new life, our new story that is beginning in your life today. Before another year passes by, think about how your story is being altered by today, how your life has caught fire, what story you have to share, how you would be willing to step up and say, as Peter did, listen, this is what God is doing, and I want you to be a part of it. As we celebrate this time of worship, we come together because our values, whether you recognize it or not, our values are under attack in the community. We gather this morning because the Spirit is driving us passionately and joyfully to fulfill the calling to share the good news that life has a purpose, it's filled with passion, and it has a power that cannot be overcome. Now, if you're willing to participate in that, to share your gifts and your talents, to get involved and to make a difference, then Pentecost has come to you. If you go home and you say, that was good, I'm not sure that I got a lot out of it, but it was a good time spent, I'm not sure that you quite got what we're all about. So this morning, let it ruminate within you. Let it digest and let it become part of who you are. When the Spirit burns within you, there is a light and a heat that just radiates from you. Let that become part of who you are. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the blessing of this day and for the Spirit that informs and transforms. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are especially recognizing all of those people that make worship what it is. I heard earlier this week, why do we worship? Why every week do we go through this time together, this sharing, this covenant together? And it's basically because you eventually will become what you value most. You will emulate the thing or person or identity that you recognize as valuable the most. And you can see this being played out in our culture. Anytime you go to the grocery store, and I use this a lot, you go to the grocery store and you look at all of the magazines on the rack, you know, trying to get you to buy. What are they doing? They're saying, if you want to look like this person, if you want to dress like this person, if you want to be like Paris Hilton, if you want your life to look just like the Kardashians or any of the other reality, then you have to have these products. And the reason that they put them up there is because people are buying them. That's what people want. Every day you are being bombarded by saying, this is what you ought to be. This is what you ought to look like. You will become the very thing that you admire and you value the most, whether it is a celebrity lifestyle, whether it's having more than everybody else. The point is, once a week we gather as a community to say, these are our values. They have stood the test of time. Giving, generosity, compassion, integrity, humility, kindness, gentleness, service. These are our values that will shape you for the long term. We gather in worship to recognize that we are not the ultimate authority in the world. We gather to worship the one true God. When we light candles, we recognize that we have a responsibility. We have a faith that has been given to us. And so we worship together. If you look in that list in the middle of your bulletin, you will find a whole list of people, of a community that kind of binds itself together to say, we are going to worship together. We're going to serve together. We're going to contribute together. And we're going to make a difference. As we look through that list, we want to celebrate all that are on that list and thank God for them. I want to read a passage for you, if I can, from Psalm 100. These are the Psalms of David, written many millennia ago, and they still ring as true today as they did almost 3,500 years ago. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. If you have served, really quick, if you have served in any capacity in worship, whether it's singing, whether it's ushering, whether it's greeting, whether it's serving on the committee, anything, if you've, would you just please stand that we could recognize our covenant relationship? Look at all these people that help make it what it is. Thank you. You may be seated. We're so grateful for your service. Absolutely. We thank you. We also have in the bulletin a list of the acolytes, and the acolytes are going to receive a special card. I have a special card up here right for you. And for all of the others that are here, we want to celebrate them and recognize their gifts. Friends, we come together as a covenant people. Let us worship God by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.